We begin the current daf from Masechet Ksubos daf Peivav. We begin 14 lines down at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion of our Mishnah from two dafim before, where the Mishnah spoke about a case of when a person dies, he has both a woman that wants to collect her ksuba and a creditor, a balchayv, that wants to collect his debt, and there's the Yerushim. What do we do? Now, the Gemara continues with a related discussion continuing from Halachas of Amemer from the top of this Amid. Ama Meimer Mishmed Rav Chama. Amemer said in the name of Rav Chama, Haiman de'ikolea ksubas isha ubachayv. Let's say somebody owes a woman her ksuba, which if he divorces her, he has to give her ksuba, and there's a creditor that he owes money to. Now, ve'isli ara ve'isli zuzik. He has both land and he has money, he has cash. So on that, Amemer said, Labal chayv misalkin libezuzi. You pay up the creditor with money, and le'isha misalkin la ba'ara, and the woman, you pay her up with the land. And the reason is, because hai ki dine, the lender who lent him money, you pay him up with money. V'hai ki dine, and the woman, who her whole reliance of the ksuba was that there was an obligation of land, she didn't give him anything, he owes her. What does he owe her? He made all his nechasim mishubet to her. And because of that, what's her shibut on the land? So she gets paid up with the land. Now Rashi brings up, although in the ksuba that she gets is not only the mana masayim, but it's also when she brings in nechsi tzern bazel, which he gets to use, and then he has to pay her afterwards, which could be she brought into the marriage metaltlin, and therefore maybe she should get paid back with the money too. And that Rashi says no, because he gets the nechsi tzern bazel right away, and that gets combined with the ksuba, which then becomes meshubet on all his nechasim. So essentially, it's really the karka that's meshubet tar ksuba, no matter what's in the ksuba. So therefore, the bal chayiv gets the money, and the woman gets the land. But the Gemara continues. Ve'iloi ike elechad ara. But what do we do if there's only one piece of land? And v'loi chazi elechad, it's only fit for one person. In other words, there's only that amount of money that could pay up one of the two. Who do we give it to? Do we give it to the bal chayiv? Or do we give it to the woman for a ksuba? So that the Gemara says, le'bal chayiv yavin lei. We give it to the creditor, to the lender, and the reason is because we don't want to what's called the proverbial closing the door. We want people to lend money. Now, lending money has a lot of shorts to it, a lot of negativity to it. So we want to make sure the door is open, that people want to lend money. So we make, in such a circumstance, that the lender, he'll get his money back. And le'ish le'yavinla, we don't give it to the woman, for her ksuba. Now, my time, what's the reason? Well, there's a concept of chinah too, which is that we want to make sure the woman gets it because we want her to find favor, that he should find favor in her eyes, that she'll want to marry him to know that she'll get her ksuba. But now that she sees that the Baal Chayv went out, maybe you'll lose that. And then the Gemara says no, because ultimately, Yaisa Mimasha Ish Reitza Lisa, more than a man wants to marry, Isha Reitza Lihinase, a woman wants to get married. And therefore, although there is a concept of china, but Tinel Delis Befnei Lovin will override that because women want to get married and they'll get married anyway. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously this halacha is only talking about if both documents of the Baal Chayv and of the woman Ksuba were written on the same day. But obviously, if let's say the date of the Ksuba was before that, then of course she would collect. It's only talking about if it's on the same day, then who gets it? Then we say the Baal Chayv and not the woman. Now, related to this topic, the Gemara brings the Amalir of Papa or Rav Chama. Papa said to Rav Chama, and he was just asking him, he said, Vadai, is it really true this that I heard, that you said this wondrous halacha, Damrit Mishmei de Rava, that you said in the name of Rava, that you said, and this is what I heard, Haiman de Maskebe Zuzi, regarding somebody that they're trying to collect money from. Now, Ve'islei Ara, he has land. Now, the creditor is coming to collect his money. Ve'amar le Zilshkol Me'ara, and the debtor, the borrower, says to the lender, says, I don't have any money, but you could go take my land. On that, amrinally, we tell the debtor, the borrower, no, zil zavin at, you sell your land, v'aisi havle, and then you go ahead and you give him the money that he lent you. And that is, we put the onus of the exertion on the borrower to sell his land. Now, the problem that that Rav Papa had with this halacha that he had heard is that really the mouth of the lender, his whole reliance on his debt that is owed to him is really on the karka, on the land. That's what's called nechasim shishbam nacharayas. He knows that whatever's going to happen, this person has properties now. Even if he sells it or gives, he's going to be able to collect from that. So if that's his primary reliance, again, similar to the discussion we had before of the ksuba, where she relies on that. So although, yes, he lent him money and he gets back money, but if his primary reliance is on the karka, so why should the leiva have to sell his land and then give him money if his primary reliance is on the land itself? Let him go ahead and collect land. So Amalei, so actually, Rav Chama responded to Rav Pop. He says, lie. It's not true. I never said this over in the name of Rav. Rav never said this. So Rav Papa, who had heard that this was what had been said, he said, "Emily gufed over the heichav. Tell me exactly what happened. I want to understand why is it that I had thought that this was what happened." So Amalei, Rav Chama said to him, "No, the story that you're referring to was Toila Ma'isiv Ba'evik Kachav Mahava, and that is he was hanging his money, meaning he was blaming. He was saying that his money was really a non-Jew's. So therefore, he really had money to pay up. But he said, oh, that money, that's that non-Jew's money. And that non-Jew wouldn't let anyone go ahead and take the money. Now, who else was Shloike Hagen? He did inappropriately because really he had money to pay up. It wasn't really that non-Jew's. He just blamed it on the non-Jew. And therefore, lefikach also by Shloike Hagen, that's why the rabbis, that's what you heard about in the name of Rava, that therefore we did something inappropriate to him, which is that we made him sell the land and give the money. Because really, money is easier. Balchayv gives the lender gives money, he wants money back. Now, yes, his primary reliance is on land. And if there's only land left, then of course he would go ahead and collect the land and the bar would not have to sell it to give him money. The incident that you're referring to is that he really did inappropriately. He had money, but he made this type of a sham. So then we said, okay, we're going to do inappropriate to him also. And we made him sell his land to get money to pay back the lender. Also related to this topic, the Gemara brings the Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Papa. Rav Kahana said to Rav Papa, Lidi dachte amrit, according to you that you say, as he's quoted in Masechtas Erech and Nefchav Bezem and Aleph, that prius bal choiv mitzvah, that the obligation of a person to pay back his debt is only a mitzvah, it's only a positive commandment to pay back, where he should stand by his word, which is, as he interprets the pasuk of Hin Tzedek, although it means a righteous measurement, but the word Hin could also be interpreted to yes. Meaning that your yes should be tzedek, should be righteous, and your lav, your no should be righteous. Meaning you should affirm what you had promised to do. So you only say that it's a mitzvah, it's not a chayv. In other words, it's not an obligation that there's a shibud on the person's money. It's just that he has a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. So, amar lo nichali de'eved mitzvah. Let's say someone that owes money says, okay, I don't want to do a mitzvah. My what's the halacha? If you hold priest bal chayiv is chayiv, so therefore there's a shibud on this money. Who cares? You don't want it. We're going to take it. But according to you that you say it's just a mitzvah, now of course he's supposed to do mitzvahs. But if the person says, I don't want to do a mitzvah, then what do? He's not going to pay back his loan? So Amalei, so Papa responded, he says, Tanina, it's like we learned in the Braisa. Bamed v'amrum, the Braisa says that when did we say that when the person violates a biblical violation, that he only gets 40 lashes, 39, which is called Malkus Abom? Is b'mitzvah loisa says when the person violated a negative prohibition of b'mitzvah say, but by a positive commandment, kugain, for example, sha'aymim loy, that they tell the person, asay sukkah, ve'noisa, they tell him, build a sukkah, it's going to be sukkah, you got to eat a sukkah, and he doesn't make one. Lulav, ve'noisa, say, get a lulav, and he doesn't go out to take the lulav. So as we continue on Tamid Beis, makin oisa, they hit him, in other words, before he violates the positive commandment, in other words, he could still fulfill the mitzvah, and he's not doing it, so they hit him until his life departs from him. And that is to say what Rav Papa said, you're right, although Prius Balchayv is only a mitzvah, but don't think a person gets away scot-free with that. We hit him. In other words, we can't just take away the money because it's not a chayv, but we hit him until he actually will fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore the same thing would apply to Prius Balchayv mitzvah. Now the Gemara continues on the topic of our Mishnah. Bo'yimenei Rami Bar Chamam Rav Chisda. If a man tells his wife, this is your get, but don't want you to be divorced until after 30 days. It's not going to be a valid get until after 30 days. Now she went, she's not divorced yet anyway for 30 days, and she went and she put it on the side of the public domain. And that's where it was, and it stayed there even for the after 30 day period. Now the question is, what's the halacha? Now the reason for this is that the actual gerushin will only happen at the moment that 30 days is. Now that has to be biyadah, it has to be in her domain, the get for the kinyan of the gerushin to happen at that moment. Now the question is it being in Sidi Rishas Rabim considered in her domain and therefore she's divorced? or not. And if it's not, she's not divorced. Somalei, so he said to him, Eina Mugresha, she's not divorced. Midi Rav Shmuel, from Rav Shmuel, which this is how it's related to the topic of our Mishnah, because the Rav Shmuel and Amar Tavai, they both said in explanation of our Mishnah, specifically for the opinion of Reb Tarfon, who said that the Baal Chayiv and the woman for her Ksuba could be typhus, they could grab from the Peirush Talushin, if when the man died, he died and he had detached produce. So that Reb Tarfon said, Kol HaKodem Zach, whoever gets it first gets it, because it's not necessarily in the domain of the orphans. Rav Shmuel both said that's only who should see Burinu Menachem Eshus HaRabim. They qualified the halach of Reb Tarfon, it's only if it wasn't in the domain of the orphan's house and their property. Rather, it was piled up and placed in the public domain. Now, so we see that because the Eshus HaRabim is a place where no one can make acquisitions because it's what's called no man's land. You can't make a kinyan for yourself in the area that's not yours, it's everybody's area. Only if you would pick it up. Now, so therefore, he says that v'tzidei reshus harabim, so too the sides of the public domains, which are near the walls, where people generally don't walk because they don't want to bump, they scrape themselves on the walls. He says that's kirshus harabim damu. That's also like the public domain. And therefore, when after 30 days, it wasn't in her property for the gerushin to be chal, for it to take effect, because it has to take effect only when it's in her domain. And just like we find an explanation of Reb Tarfon's opinion in our Mishnah, that Rishus HaRabim is not considered in the Yershim's domain, and so to here it's not going to be considered in the divorcee's domain. Therefore, it's not going to be a get, because he'll see the Rishus HaRabim, the sides are the same as the Rishus HaRabim itself. Now, on that he asked back, Adrabba, to the contrary, Migureshes, she should be divorced. Midi Rav Nachman, from Rav Nachman's halacha. Because the Amr Rav Nachman, the Amr Rabbi Baravu, he said, O Imel Chaver, someone tells his friend, and we had this similar discussion on that previous daf, Mashach Parazuv, someone tells his friend, I want you to do the Kinyan of Meshicha, which means pulling this cow towards you, but, although you're doing the Maisa Kinyan, which is the act of the acquisition, but V'leiti Kinyu Yiloch Ad La'achar Shleish Min, but I want the consequence, the outcome, the actual Kinyan itself, for the acquisition to be chal until after 30 days. So that Rav Nachman said, Kana mefilah medes ba'agim. So after the 30 days, the acquisition will take effect, even if at that time it's in the swamp. Now, my love, so therefore they asked back, Hainu agim hainu tzidish ram, isn't that the same thing? A swamp is not the public domain, but it's not the person's own domain either. Rather, it's like the sides of Rishus HaRabim. And we see that after the 30-day period, it will work for the person to be kind. And therefore, her also, the woman should be considered divorced after the 30-day period if it's just in the Rishus HaRabim. So that, remember, that on that, Rav Chizkiya responded, they said, like, no, agam luchod, the tzid Rishus HaRabim luchod. No, a swamp is one thing, and the sides of Rishus HaRabim is another thing. And that is Rav Chizkiya held that the sides of Rishus HaRabim are the same as Rishus HaRabim, which is not in her domain. Whereas Rabbi Bachama held that it's like what Rav Nachman's halacha was, that it's the same as agam, like a swamp, which would be considered in the person's domain, and therefore she would be divorced. That's one version of their discussion. It could argue that those that say the opposite version, that Omalei Migureshes, that Rav Chizkiya responded to Rabbi Bachama that she is divorced, mid Rav Nachman, and he was proving it from Rav Nachman. Because if it's Sidi Rosh Hashanah, Ka'agam Dami, the sides of Rosh Hashanah are like a swamp, where it is considered enough out of, let's say, Rishus HaRabim, for the Gerushin to be Chal after 30 days. Now, so on that, Rabbi Bachama asked, Ad Rabbi, to the contrary, Eina Mugresha, she should not be divorced. Midi Rav Shmuel. Because, as we find by Rav Shmuel, that they said that if it's in Rishus HaRabim, then it's not considered in the domain of the one who really owns it. So my love, Hainu Rishus HaRabim, isn't it the same, the public domain, Vahainu Tidi Rishus HaRabim, that's the same thing for the sides of Rishus HaRabim. On that, Rav Chizkiya responded, "Loi, no. Rishus HaRabim Luchod, Vitzid Rishus HaRabim Luchod. No, the public domain is one thing. The side is something else. The side is not the same as the public. The side is more like an agam, which, just like we found by Rav Nachman, that an agam will be considered enough out of the public's domain to be considered in the person who is being kainid in their domain. So too, here the woman will be divorced if the get is in the Tzid Rishus HaRabim after 30 days." Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. If a man makes his wife into his storekeeper, meaning he owns a store, and he puts her in charge to sell wine and produce in the store, or he appoints her as an administrator to take care of what's coming in, what's going out, to hire workers, to do all the business dealings. So the halacha is, he can make her take an oath that she didn't hold back anything for herself because she's doing all this business deal. She might have been taking things off for herself. So he can make her take this, what's called the classic Shavuos Apotropos, an administrator's oath. Kalsman Shayirza, that's a chiddush for a wife. Whenever he wants to, he could just pop up on her and say, I want you to make an oath that you didn't take anything for yourself. Now, Rabbi Yezu, I mean, he says, Afilal Pilcho Valisasa, even for her spindle, meaning what a woman does when she sews, and Valisasa, and on her dough when she's just baking, even regarding household items, which is not a storekeeper, not in the business at all, he can make her take an oath that she's faithful, that she didn't take anything for herself. Now, Ibarlu had the following question. Rabbi Yezer, when he says that the woman has to swear even regarding her spindle and on her dough, Alidei Gilgul Kamar, what is this? Why did he make a woman, a regular homewife, have to make a shvua? Is it that he heard the Tanna Kamma say, as we see in the Mishnah, that she has to take an oath as an administrator, but not what? But not on her spindle and her dough, which would sound like, even if based on the principle of what's called Gilgul Shvuah. Gilgul Shvuah is the concept that when someone has to take an oath, once there's an obligation for the person to make an oath, then even other things which they wouldn't normally be obligated in, so then you could just roll over the oath and say, okay, once you make an oath, we can mandate you to make all these other oaths that we would not have had you make. So the first option of the Gemara is that Rabbi Eliezer is being mechayiv the woman to make an oath even on her spindle and her dough, only based on the principle of Gilgul Shvuah. And that's what he's arguing the Tanna Kamma. Because the Tanna Kamma said, a woman that's not Petropis, she swears regarding the business, but not what? Not on her dough and on her spindle. Even based on the principle of once you're making a Shvuah for a Petropis, for your administration, then you should have to make on the household items. That's not the case. And the reason is because since the whole oath of an administrator is only rabbinic halacha, and the reason being is because it's not a biblical oath. It's not when the claimant is coming with what's called a tainus bari, a definitive claim. It's just that I want you to make an oath for me. So since it's only rabbinic, so we cannot use the concept of Gilgul Shvuah to mandate other oaths because of that. And hence, she's not going to have to swear for household items which a regular wife doesn't have to make for. And on that, Rabbi Eliezer is coming to say that no, where she's made into a storekeeper, so then you do say that since she's swearing because she's an administrator, so because of that, through Gilgal, we can make her have to swear also for her spindle and for her dough, which normally you wouldn't have to, because you do say Gilgal even with a Shvuah d'Rabbanan. Oli, or the Gemara's second option is, Likat Chilakama, that even if she wasn't made into an administrator, Rabbi Elazar is saying a regular husband can make his regular wife take an oath even for her spindle, because on some level, every wife is an administrator, because a house is a business. The husband brings in money, pours in money, and suddenly he sees all this money missing from his bank account. What did you spend on? I want you to take an oath, because she is an administrator on some level. So where's Rabbi Eliezer being mechayiv the shvuah on Pilcha Nisasa? Is it based on Gilgul Shvuah, and that's what he's arguing in Tanna Kamma, only when she's an administrator? Or even a regular housewife? A regular housewife, he could be mechayiv a shvuah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because of, on some level, she's not Petropis. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya in the following brisa. Amru Leila Rabbi Eliezer, the Chacham who argued on Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, in the brisa, the discussion is expounded upon, they said to him, look, Ein odem darim nochesh bekfifa, which is a common maxim, which is that a person can't live with a snake in one box. Which essentially they were telling him is that, how can you say that a husband could be mechayev a wife to take oaths for the clothing that she bought, for the spindle that she has, for the dough that she's making, but a person can't live with a snake in one box? How could you live with such a husband that's making you take shvuas on regular household items? So therefore they held that she doesn't have to take a shvuah on those items. Now, that the Gemara proves. If you say that Rabbi Eliezer, who is being mechayiv even on the spindle and the dough, was talking about even by a regular housewife, well then shopper, that makes sense that she'll say, what do you mean? On regular household chores, you make me take an oath? I can't deal with such a husband. So that makes sense. Of course, it's not tolerable. But if you say Rabbi Eliezer's halacha was only when she's an administrator, and she's taking an oath as an administrator, so through that you could do Gilgul Shvuah, and she has to make even on household items, then my nafka, let me know. So what was the Chachamim's, the Tanna Kamma's great complaint to Rabbi Eliezer? What does it make a big deal to her if she's obligated in the oath of of a shvua for these household items, because anyway she has to take an oath, which is the general administrator's oath. So who cares that now that she's taking an oath that she'll have to make on other things too? So on that, the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because the Amrlei, she could tell him that, yes, I'm taking an oath as an administrator, but kiven de kadaikis basroi kule hai, since you're so meticulous and you're so exacting for every last dot, obviously you don't love me. You don't trust me. Limitzina de ad badar, I can't live with you. Even if I was in a job and they would just, everything I did, how many pieces of paper did you take? How many paper clips? It would be intolerable. So therefore, it could be that Rabbi Eliezer was only going based on Gilgal, but even based on Gilgal, it would still be that if he's making our Mechayev Shvu on Pilcha Ve'isasa, that's what the Chacham's complaint was, Ein Odom Darim Nachash B'Kfifa. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya. Toshma, coming here from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Harei Shalei Potter Es Ishtai. If a man did not exempt his wife, Min HaNeder U Min HaShvua, from taking an oath or a vow, where he didn't write to her, as we're going to see in the coming Mishnah, that a husband could tell his wife, look, you're never going to have to take a neder or a shvuah from me. Now, shvuah we understand, which is like we said before, that she has to take an oath. What is a neder? So a neder is, as expounded upon Masechta's Gittin, is that she makes a neder, which she says that every fruit in the world should be forbidden to me. If I held on to any of your stuff, meaning because the Gemara Gittin, Daf Lamed Dalet Beis explains, that they stopped requiring the wife to take an oath. The reason being is because she might have said that, what do you mean? Of course I'm allowed to use this. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm doing this. Of course it's standard. And therefore, that might cause her to make a shvur sheker, a false oath. So Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken instituted that instead of making a shvur, which is more severe, that she take a neder to the orphans, whatever they want to, whatever they require from her, and then she says, I'll be forbidden to all these things if it's true that I had taken, and then she could collect her ksuba. So if there is a husband that did not exempt his wife from the neder shvur to prove her point that she didn't take any of the household items, and vayishiva chen vanis, and he made her a storekeeper in his shop, or he made her the administrator of his business, so harizim ashbiya kozman shayirza. So the Braisa says that he can make her take an oath at any point in time that he wants to. Now, the Braisa says, however, if loya shi v'chen vanis, but if he didn't make her into a storekeeper, or v'loy mina b'trabo, or he didn't make her into an administrator, then in yechal ashbiya, then he can't make her take an oath. And on that, Rabbi Yezer, he argued, and he said, no, ava pishu loya shi v'chen vanis, v'loy mina b'trabo, even if she's not the storekeeper and she's not the administrator, she's just a housewife, ha'reza mashbiya kozman shayitzi, he could still make her take an oath at any point in time that he wants to, and these are the key words, she'en l'cho isha sh'li nasa apetropis, because you don't have any housewife that didn't become an administrator for one moment in her husband's life. How do you have that? Well, she never went to work in her life. For the spindle, for the dough. How do we know that that was faithful? And therefore he says that he could always make her take a shvuah. On that Amrulai, they said to him, Ein Odom Darim Nachash B'Kfifa. What do you mean? A person can't live with a snake like that. If he's going to make her take an oath for regular household items, that's intolerable. But one thing we see from the Shmamina, look at Chilah Shmamina. Obviously, we see from the way Rabbi Eliezer said it, is that even if she's not a storekeeper, even if there's no Gilgal Shvuah, he held that he could still be Machayev or Shvuah whenever he wants to, because every housewife essentially is an administrator of the husband's money in how she runs the house. So we see that he's arguing, even the Ketchilah, even the regular housewife, Rabbi Eliezer held that he could be Machayev or Shvuah. Now, continuing on the theme that we just left off with, this Mishnah continues and says, Kasabla, if a husband writes to his wife, Neder u'shvua ein li alaych, I have no rights to claim from you to take an oath or a vow regarding this, that if you didn't take any of the things for yourself, which belong to me or to the house. So then, ein yochal hashbiya, then he cannot require her to take an oath. And the Gemara will explain exactly from what oath is he exempting her. But if he said that, I'm not going to make you take any oaths or vows, then he can't make her swear. Aval, but, mashbihu es yershau, he could make her inheritors swear. And that is, if let's say he divorced her, so he has to give her a ksuba. Then she died. Now her inheritors are coming to claim her ksuba. So the halacha is that he can make them swear what's called the Shvuas Yershin, which is explicit in Masechta Shvuas of Amhei Aleph, that they have to swear that our mother did not deposit us anything, meaning of her ksuba, at the time that she died. She didn't tell us anything. We didn't find among her documents that the ksuba was paid up. So we're coming to collect her ksuba. So the halacha is that he could make them swear. And v'esabam b'shtusa, and also those that come in the woman's place. For example, let's say she sold her ksuba to others, and she got divorced, therefore she gets the right to it, and then she died. Now the purchasers of her ksuba are coming to claim it. They also have to make this shvuas ha-yershin, because although he exempted her from neder shvua, he didn't exempt her yershin or her lekuchis. Now, however, if neder shvua, let's say he says, the neder shvua ain't li alecha, I'm not going to make you take a neder shvua, and val yershecha val bam b'shuscha, neither on your inheritors, and neither on those that come in your place, none of them are going to have to take an oath or take a neder. So then, ene yochal ashbir, then he cannot make them take an oath, lo he, not the woman herself, v'lo yershecha, not inheritors, v'lo yishbam b'shuscha, not those who come in her place. Now, aval, however, yershav mashbi naisa, his inheritors can make her swear, and ves yershav, ves abam b'shusa, and her inheritors, and those that come in her place. And the reason being is because if she gets widowed, meaning that the husband died first, now if she or her inheritors are coming to collect from the orphans, they have to make a shvua. And the reason being is because the husband only exempted them from make a shvua to him, if they're coming to collect when he's still alive. But if he's dead, and they come to collect from his orphans, that he never exempted them from the neder shvua. However, if let's say he says neder shvua, ainly that I don't have on you neither to make a neder shvua, v'loy li yarshi, v'loy li bar b'shusi, and neither is this requirement of a neder shvua for me or for my inheritors or for those that come in my place, meaning if let's say I sell all my properties and you're coming to collect from the lekuchais, that even what I'm selling, that even they don't have the rights of this neder shvua, and it's not alecha, v'al yershecha, v'al bam b'shuscha, and it's not incumbent upon you, this neder shvua, and not on your inheritors, and not on those who come in your place, then ein yochel ashbia, then he cannot make her take an oath, lo'ihu, v'lo yershev, lo bar b'shuscha, he cannot mandate it, neither his inheritors, neither those that bought his properties from him, and lo'yosav, v'lo yershev, lo bar b'shuscha, and that obligation is not going to be not on her, and not on her inheritors, and not on those who come in her place. Now the Mishnah concludes, if halcha, if this woman that her husband exempted her from a shvua, if she goes mekever bala lebeis avir, she goes straight from the cemetery of burying her husband, she goes to her father's house, that means to say she has nothing anymore to do with her late husband's estate. Or even if she goes back to her father-in-law's house, but she doesn't become an administrator, then the halacha is, as we just left off, then ein ha-yirshin meshbein ha-isaf, so the inheritors cannot make her take an oath, because from what was, she's already exempt, because he says there's neder shvu ein li alayich, and moreover, there's no future because she doesn't become an administrator after the husband died. But v'mnasas abitrapia, if after the husband died, so now there's no more husband, somebody's got to take care of the children, so she becomes an administrator of his business, then hayirshin mashbina isa ala asalabai. Then the inheritors, the orphans, they can make her swear regarding the future. In other words, regarding the business that she does after the husband had died, that she didn't take any of the money for herself. The reason being is because now that money, that business, is the orphan's business. And therefore, although the husband exempted her from his obligations, that was only his business. But now it's not his business, it's the orphan's business. So if she goes back after he's dead and becomes administrator, then they could require her to make a shvua. However, but obviously they could not make her take an oath for what was, meaning for regarding the business when the husband was still alive, because again, for that, he already told her that neder shvua ain't li alayich, and therefore she's exempt from anything regarding to his business. However, again, regarding the future, if she does become an apotropis, that's already a whole different business, that's already the orphan's business, and therefore they could mandate her to make a shvua that she didn't take anything for herself from their business, from the nichsei of Yisayman.